My big health focus has been drink more water, get basic exercise, reduce your stress, and perhaps most important, better sleep and more sleep. You don't want to lay in bed where you can't sleep. I use thetrustedlab.com. Thetrustedlab.com comes directly to your home. I don't want to be involved with addictive drugs and medicine and all that. Completely healthy, completely natural, and I get results. Thetrustedlab.com.
It's that time. Lock and load. The Michael Berry Show is on the air.
An awful beating and sexual assault at the Harris County Jail of a Harris County Sheriff's deputy. She's going to survive, but what was done to her was beyond belief. And we will get to that story in just a moment. But it was 80 years ago today. President FDR at the time using the phrase which lives on till this
December 7th, 1941, a date which will live in infamy. The United States of America was suddenly and deliberately attacked by naval and air forces of the Empire of Japan.
Pearl Harbor survivors recount what they saw that day.
It's a sight I'll never forget. I watched the Arizona, the West Virginia, the Tennessee, the Nevada, California, Utah, all engulfed in smoke and flames and all sinking.
It was chaotic. Guys hollered for their lives.
Oil from the destroyer came on top of the water, caught fire, so it had flames all around us.
The fire from the Arizona was so intense. These guys that fell over, came up, got the film on their bodies, were like human torches.
The fireball went about 800 feet in the air and just enveloped us. I got burned over about 65% or 70% of my body.
We seen men jumping off the ship into boiling oil and water, trying to make it to the beach.
There was a body in the water. When I pulled the guy's arm, it came off. Well, of course, that scared the living daylights out of me.
I saw these bodies lying around. So the first run, I turned him over, and the back of his head was missing. I wasn't prepared for that.
I still, to this day, had memories of those bodies we pulled out of the bay, but all of them was oil soaked, and it left a real, real bad memory.
Tears came to my eye because of the destruction of the ships, and more important, the lives that were lost.
Elbridge Colby was a senior defense official and advisor in the Trump administration. He was Deputy Assistant Secretary of Defense for Strategy and Force Development, and he led the development of the 2018 National Defense Strategy for President Trump. He was our guest yesterday on the show last night, and he talked about, well, he's written a book about America's failings in preparing for Pacific Rim problems. The book is called The Strategy of Denial, American Defense in an Age of Great Power Conflict. We're not going to replay that interview, but if you want to hear it, you can go to the podcast last night, The Strategy of Denial. But he had some strong words for how the Biden administration is failing us in Asia, and the threat that China poses and the inability of Japan or South Korea to carry their own weight, giving a lot of credit to Australia for what they've done to keep peace in the region. That's on last night's podcast. If you subscribe to our podcast, then it will automatically populate, like in the old days when you would DVR TV shows, you would have them already stacked up, so then you went in and you could just play them on rewind. And a lot of folks do that, but I'm letting you know that in case you're only a live radio listener. If you subscribe to our podcast, which is free, you go into whatever podcast platform you use and you go to our podcast, Michael Berry Show, and then you click subscribe, it will automatically put those in there every time a show updates, which of course is twice a day. And then if we do an interview or something special, that'll be a separate podcast so you can listen to just that. A 2018 news report from KUTV in Salt Lake City on USS Arizona survivor Ken Potts.
Inside a quaint Provo Rambler.
It was a pool room.
Ken Potts.
Now, that's just junk room.
Shows off a lifetime of accolades.
All these pictures, all that stuff, I call it junk, but it's not.
Far from it, actually.
All of my mementos
are a lesson in history, a subject Ken isn't particularly fond of.
I never liked history when I was in school.
A bit ironic, since this 97-year-old is one of the few remaining survivors of one of America's darkest days.
A date which will live in infamy.
There were 342 survived, there's 5 lived in a day.
Hard to believe.
Yeah.
A sailor on the USS Arizona. He abandoned ship just before a Japanese bomb hit.
Everything was a fire. There was so much confusion. You didn't have time to think about nothing but staying alive.
He calls it
lucky.
But Ken knows the world's changed over 77 years.
Now it's so much different that it's indescribable. She's got 5 ounces of pure silver in it.
As medals and awards pile up in an old pool room.
I wish it was 5 ounces of pure gold.
Ken hopes America remembers what he fought for.
They're not as patriotic as they used to be. Everything's different.
Imagine living through Pearl Harbor. Imagine living through that war. Imagine going to serve your country and coming home and watching as everything you held dear is smeared, destroyed, insulted, torn down. I suppose these men were the products of white privilege. I suppose they had it easy, and I suppose that they're evil. You know, it's got to be amazing and awful. That was 80 years ago today. So if you lived through it, you're 98 or more, to watch what has become of our country. Watch what's happening on the television every day. Hear about what's happening in the schools. Hear about what's happening in our military, watching the defunding of the police, watching the criminals released after they're arrested, and fewer are arrested because of defund the police. Fewer are arrested because the police aren't allowed to do what they were able to do to fight crimes. 6 people shot in a 6-hour span last night in Houston alone. 6 people shot in a 6-hour span last night. Maybe some people today need to pull some dead bodies out of the water to recognize what's at stake. Thomas Paine said, "That which we obtain too easily, we esteem too lightly." That which we obtain too easily, we esteem too lightly. How many of these kids screeching on social media about this is the worst thing or the worst time and these are the worst people would do for having had the experience our grandparents did? My goodness. No social media, no Black Lives Matter, no Antifa. Just from the farm to Normandy or Okinawa. I don't know if it's the greatest generation, but I'm not sure I can name another one that would be better.
The Michael Berry Show continues.
We're all looking for a way to ache less, sleep better, feel better. TheTrustedLab.com has helped me and a lot of our listeners. TheTrustedLab.com, completely legal, lab tested, based in Texas. They'll deliver to you wherever you are. TheTrustedLab.com, legal in all 50 states. TheTrustedLab.com. TheTrustedLab.com.
Everybody was kung fu fighting. Those kids were fast as lightning. In fact, it was a little bit frightening. But they fought with expert timing. There were funky China.
On this day in 1974, Carl Douglas's Kung Fu Fighting hits number one in America for the first of 2 weeks. Before we get to the Harris County Sheriff's Department story, I want to go back to Pearl Harbor. When I first started working with Chad, I don't know, 15 years, 13, well, it wasn't right off because he was working with Chris Baker at the time, but let's say 2007, probably 12 years ago. He had a story he really liked, being from Hawaii and having obviously a closer connection to Pearl Harbor and a lot of the places and the things that happened. It was a story of the Willamette University football team that had gone from the Willamette River, of course, runs through Portland. The Willamette University football team in 1941 on December 7th was in the vicinity to play a football game when Pearl Harbor breaks out and they are brought in to help guard the facilities. Part one. Go.
We could see these puffs of smoke around these airplanes that had been, and boy, look how real they are. Look how close they're coming to those planes. We didn't really know then that it was until somebody had turned the radio on in the lobby of the hotel.
What do you remember the radio telling you?
Well, it just said that Pearl Harbor is being bombed.
More than 2,000 Americans would die in the attack on Pearl Harbor, just 12 miles away from the team's hotel. That night, a blackout was enforced amid rumors of an invasion by the Japanese. The next morning, the team again gathered outside the hotel, only this time, each man was given a loaded rifle, even though some had never handled a weapon before. Just hours later, 28 college football players who'd come to Hawaii for a game and a good time were standing 24-hour guard around the perimeter of Punahou High School, an ammunition storage facility for the United States Army.
It was kind of a scary thing doing it because we were at night, you know, it was windy and coconuts were falling and people were firing guns. We'd hear a gunfire and everybody, of course, hit the deck.
It's a wonder somebody wasn't killed. I mean, it's unbelievable to me that they weren't.
And what happened after the war broke out with that football team?
They returned to Oregon to a joyous welcome, but there was a war on. So each of the 28 players joined the armed forces. All but one of them survived. And only after the war did the story of the 1941 Willamette football team take root. Their sense of duty, their steadfastness in uncertain times. A team that bore witness to history, and in doing so, made history themselves.
Strong. 80 years ago today, there was a horrible beating and sexual assault of a sheriff's deputy yesterday at about 2 o'clock at the Harris County Jail. Now, the thing to bear in mind when you hear this story is that the individual who did this is a complete and utter savage. 2 years ago, he assaulted two joggers within about a 20 to 25 minute period, savagely beating them and raping one and trying to rape the other one before she got away. This guy was on a spree. And when we talk about bail reform and criminal justice reform, this is what we're talking about. A guy like this doesn't commit one rape. They go on a spree. We don't know how many people he's raped. We just know he was caught for the last one. There's another thing going on here. When they opened the new joint processing system center, the idea was it was going to be kinder and gentler, this shouldn't surprise you, to the inmates. Because that's what criminal justice reform is about. These poor little delicate creatures need to be treated kindly. So they're no longer strapped down. They're no longer in any way encumbered. And in most cases, they're not even escorted as they move around. An inside source at the jail tells me that this individual, this savage individual, was allowed to roam freely. Hear the story, and then we'll go back to it. This is ABC 13.
One of our own family members at the sheriff's office get brutally attacked and sexually assaulted. It's shaken our agency to a core.
A violent attack inside the Harris County Jail at 1200 Baker Street this afternoon. A crime scene unit and detectives inside for the investigation as the female sergeant remained hospitalized.
We had one of our employee representatives go down to the hospital. And he said it's the worst beating he's ever seen in his 46-year career.
According to the Harris County Sheriff's Office, it happened around 2 p.m. Sources say the inmate ambushed her inside an office on the fifth floor. He was unescorted and jailed for two previous sex-related crimes.
She tried to scratch the defendant with her.
27-year-old Jeremiah Williams now faces additional charges. This is him after his arrest last year on charges he attacked two women separately at a West Harris County park. In a press release tonight, Sheriff Ed Gonzalez said, quote, "The brutal attack of our sheriff's office teammate warrants a thorough and swift investigation. Uncovering all the relevant facts related to this alleged assault is a top priority as we seek answers and justice."
This is not a place.
The sergeant's attack comes a month after 19-year-old Fred Harris, a man with special needs, was beaten and stabbed inside the jail. A fellow inmate twice his size has been charged with murder. In September, the Harris County Deputies Organization sued the county, alleging unsafe jail conditions and understaffing.
There's not enough people in that jail. I keep saying that. I keep warning them. I keep telling them. And they don't listen.
Devastated.
David Cuevas of the Deputies Organization says what happened to today's victim is sending shockwaves of fear throughout jail staff.
We have employees that are calling that don't want to show up to work.
It's going to get worse before it gets better. What does this have to do with six people shot across Houston in the span of 6 hours last night? The mindset. The mindset that says that a person who commits a brutal crime is a nice person to be treated kindly and trusted to behave nicely from here on out. You simply cannot trust this person. There are people willing to do awful things to innocent people for no reason. This guy's not even stealing their money. He's not even taking their money to go buy something. This guy gets a thrill out of beating and raping women. You can't save him. It's just a question of who will be next. It's just a question of how many more victims he will have. Six people shot, including two teens, across Houston area in violent span of 6 hours overnight, from drive-by shootings to an attempted robbery at a convenience store. Six people were shot. That's the ABC 13 headline by Jeff Ealing. And there will be more, and it will get worse. And they will be out on bond. And eventually they're going to kill a county commissioner, a city councilman, a newscaster. They're going to kill somebody that's going to make these people care. Because at this point, they still don't care.
The Michael Berry Show continues.
Now, a 94-year-old Pearl Harbor survivor has a message for young millennials.
Huh? Hey, you shut up with your safe spaces already.
This has been a 94-year-old Pearl Harbor survivor with a message for young millennials.
I'm wearing diapers!
Got the I'm wearing diapers part was in there. I would have removed it. Oh, well. I was trying to make the point that kids today. It's a white female sergeant who was beaten unconscious and raped by the black male inmate at the Harris County Jail yesterday. Is that a hate crime? Jeremiah Williams is his name. The man is like a rabid dog. Descriptions of what sent him to jail suggest this individual should have his nuts cut off and then be hanged instead of being allowed to walk around free inside the jail to do exactly what he did. And make no mistake, he will walk free again. This is what you get from Lena Hidalgo and Rodney Ellis and Adrian Garcia. This is what you get from the Justice Democrats. This is criminal justice reform. This is what it looks like. And it's only going to get worse. Six people shot overnight. ABC 13 with the story. It all started around 8:30 p.m. We could do our own Houston crime report now. We don't need Chicago. Yeah. It also, do we have the old Chicago crime report? We'll use the Chicago crime report music, and we'll do it for Houston. Chicago got butthurt over me pointing out how black people were killing black people on the streets of Chicago. That was very upsetting for a white guy to point out. Oh, I'm informed it's not just 6 in 6 hours. It's actually 10 in 24 hours. That's quite the spree, isn't it? Do you have it? Oh, here we go. We'll do Houston.
Chicago is just... I mean, it really is just miserable.
You smell like Chicago.
And now, the Michael Berry Show presents the Chicago Weekend Crime Report.
Except it's for Houston. It all started around 8:30 p.m. Monday, when Houston Popo said two teenagers were shot as they walked down a street in northwest Houston. Popo said the victims are just 15 and 18 years old. The teens were reportedly walking in the 8500 block of Pittner Road when a white pickup truck opened fire in what Popo are calling a drive-by shooting. The 15-year-old was shot in the chest and was in critical condition as he was taken to the hospital, Popo said. The 18-year-old was grazed by a bullet and was treated at the scene. An hour later, around 9:30 p.m., a store clerk was shot in the face during an attempted robbery at a convenience store off 8600 Memorial Drive, according to HPD. 8600 Memorial Drive. I'm trying to think where there is a convenience store on Memorial Drive. At that one. Is that at the Beltway? Oh, it's at 610 and... Oh, I know exactly which one. Southwest corner. Right across from the Asian liquor store. 9:30 p.m. I thought that Chevron closed pretty early. There's a Shell across the street. That's right. The Shell's on the northwest corner. The Chevron's on the southwest corner. There's a Green Bank just west of that. There's a BF Goodrich as part of that Chevron. The Shell across the street. There is a... liquor store, and there is a little convenience store. It's a brick building. Yeah, I know where you're talking about. Popo said the suspect drove up to the store in a black Mercedes two-door car. Oh, hell yeah. Yeah, right. Pimping. Big pimping. Walked inside, went straight up to the clerk, and shot him in the face. Yeah. Yeah. The suspect then tried to open the cash register but could not. Brazen he is, brilliant he's not. In the meantime, Popo said the victim managed to get up, but the suspect punched him back down. The victim was still able to stumble out of the store and stop a passing motorist for help, according to the Popo. Officials said the clerk was taken to the hospital in serious condition but is expected to survive. I guarantee you the guy who committed that crime is out on bail, probably wearing an ankle bracelet.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the ankle monitor is to keep him at home, but instead he's out committing crimes with it on because they don't monitor the ankle monitor. But it makes you feel like they did so. And the judge can say, oh, I told him you have to stay home. You'll stay home, right? Yes, sir, I'll stay home. I can't think of going out. I'm so repentant. Is that the word? Yeah. I'm so repentant for what I did. And contrite. Is that the word? Yes. You're contrite and repentant. Yes. And I seek forgiveness. I seek forgiveness. And the only way I can seek forgiveness properly to show how sorry I am for the victims and to show the error of my ways is to stay in my apartment. Well, I don't really have an apartment because I don't work. I just gangbang all day. But I got a baby mama what's going to let me stay there. And the only way I can show any of y'all I'm serious about changing the course, the direction of my life, is to stay holed up with her and have my homies over all day. That's the only way I can do it. I can't think of a better way I can show y'all that I am so, so sorry I keep doing this. This last time I'm going to stay holed up in my place, right? And while they're sitting around planning the next crime, I'll be like, no, yo, man, y'all out of control now. Y'all crazy, man. I ain't even trying to go. I'll wait here. Y'all bring it all back. You don't need me to go. You just want me to go. And truth is, I want to go. All right, I'm going. All right, let's go. What we going to do? Let's go get us some old white person. Knock him clean out. Watch that last one. I knocked him clean out. You saw it? One swing. I was, boom, he's down. He's down for the count. Now goes Frazier. I like, that's right. I'm going to do it again. Ankle monitor. But that's the only way I can show y'all that I'm serious is if I stay in my hose apartment. That's the only way I can do it. That's criminal justice reform.
The Michael Berry Show.
Why we can't just hold on to each other's hands.
This time I have a source inside the Harris County Jail, and I cannot reveal the details of what happened in this sexual assault and beating by this black man of a white sheriff's deputy sergeant she'd been on for 20 years. You're supposed to say the race because race is everything now, so we need to say this every time. This black man who raped this white woman. I can't tell you what all he did, but I can tell you that I hope before he is hanged and drawn and quartered that the details of what he did are revealed. Because I can guarantee you it's worse than you can dream up. The savage was walking around free inside the jail by design. Because it's very important that these sweet, tender little bastards that Rodney Ellis and Sylvester Turner and Lena Hidalgo and all the judges love so much. This is what they want. This is what they campaigned on. These are their policies. The social justice Democrats take out ads against, they took out an ad against three black women Democrat criminal court judges in Harris County last year. And the ad said these three judges are keeping inmates, or keeping suspects in jail with high bonds, which prevents them from being able to get out. It shouldn't be a crime to be poor. Which is true. Shouldn't be a crime to be poor. Nor should it be a defense to the consequences of your actions. Thomas Sowell famously said, "Mercy to the guilty is cruelty to the victim." And it's, in this case, true. What if every Harris County Sheriff's deputy that works at the jail said, "This was entirely preventable and entirely foreseeable as a result of your policies. I'm out. Let the inmates run the asylum. Let those bastards see who wins. Let's see how Jeremiah Williams does against the other rapists in there. Maybe he out-rapes the other rapists. Or maybe he doesn't." Let me get back to this and then we'll take your call. 713-212-5874. We're not through with the crimes that were committed yesterday. So we have the shooting on Memorial Drive. Now we've moved to Nathaniel Street near Ledge. What? Yes, we have we've updated our Chicago crime update intro to incorporate Houston.
Houston.
It was just, I mean, it really is just miserable.
You smell like
Houston.
And now, the Michael Berry Show presents the
Houston
Weekend Crime Report.
The next shooting happened at 10:22 p.m. in the 9200 block of Nathaniel Street near Ledge, according to Popo. Popo said a man was shot six times after fighting with a woman at a convenience store. During the fight, Popo said the woman left the store but came back with another man. Uh-oh. The two men then began fighting, said Popo. The man who came back to the store with the woman shot the man who had been in the earlier dispute. Popo said the shooting victim was hit four times in the torso and twice in the neck and was taken to the hospital via a private car in critical condition. The suspect fled the scene. That's like John Dutton. He got all shot up. Next is on Swiftwater Lane. Popo said not long after the Nathaniel Street shooting, around 10:30 p.m., a 19-year-old was shot in the head in the 8100 block of Swiftwater Lane. In this case, the victim was able to tell the Popo that someone drove past his house in a black four-door sedan and opened fire. Let me ask you this. They have told us that the victim reported the color of the car. Now, do you think police said, okay, so we're going to be looking for a black four-door sedan? That's right. Do you think they asked him the skin color of the people inside the car? Maybe. I'm guessing any investigator worth his salt would want every detail he could get. But they don't report the color of the man who shot. Do you have any guess what it might be? I don't know. Yours is as good as mine. I have no idea. We only know the color of the car. It looks like the house was targeted, Lieutenant E. Pavel said. I mean, it is when they started shooting. It was toward that house. They shot multiple times, between 10 to 20 bullets. What percentage of drive-by shootings do you think are committed by blacks? On blacks? And yet all we hear about is white supremacists. All we hear about is the danger to the country by white veterans coming back who are pro-life and anti-government. That's all we ever hear about. You know, we never hear about the dangers of black drive-by shootings in the streets. Do you ever see a story in the news? I'm dead serious here. Literally, do you ever see a story in the news where a white guy is caught in a drive-by shooting? Seriously. Ever. But we don't know if this was a black guy who did it. We only know it was a black four-door sedan.
And the media is the worst. They won't mention race during certain suspect descriptions. That's how politically correct we are as a country. I was reading in the New York Daily News the description of a rape suspect, and they didn't mention the guy's race. Now, once you're caught, I don't care what you look like, but if we're still looking for you, how about you mention all pertinent information so we know who to avoid on the elevator? Not that I'm the rape target, but I think you understand. This was the politically correct description they gave. They said the young man was in his 20s, approximately 5'9", 185 pounds, and was wearing a red sweatshirt. You want to cut the hunt in half? Red sweatshirt, really? Why would you mention the thing he can change, but not the race, which he can't? What do you think, he's going to leave the sweatshirt on until the manhunt is over? All his friends are telling him, he might want to take that sweatshirt off. No, no, I commit all the rapes in this. This is my lucky sweatshirt.
Well, coming up, we will speak to Alex Epstein about who's to blame for rising gas prices at the pump. News flash, it's not Donald Trump. Oh, there was one more shooting at 2 o'clock in the morning off Elgin in Midtown. A guy was on a bicycle, 19-year-old, riding along on a bicycle at 2:30 a.m. He was shot. I have a buddy named Ray Breyers, and he owns a company called ThePipeYardInc.com. And if you have a project that needs carbon steel pipe, he stocks everything you need. New surplus, secondary, you name it. Rat hole, mouse hole, conductor casing, pipe pile, sign pole, structural, road bores, dredging. If you're buying or selling, you got an abandoned pipeline, wherever, he'll buy it. ThePipeYardInc.com, 409-788-PIPE, 409-788-PIPE.